But turn in your Bibles to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Okay, before we begin, won't you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, for your goodness, your provision, Lord, that even today we received rain. So much that was needed, Father, and you graciously provided it at the right time. Thank you, Father, for that, and we also thank you for having us here and taking time to learn your word. Please prepare our hearts. Allow us, Father, to apply it to our lives so that we may be able to grow into a closer relationship with you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 128, verse 1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. What a neat psalm. Now, people have always searched for happiness. I don't think there's anyone in the world pretty much that would say, you know, I don't want to be happy. I like being my old Grinch. You know, like Eeyore. Woe is me. You know, everyone wants to be happy. Have you heard of anyone saying, I don't like being happy? How many of you have heard of people like that? If it's you, please don't raise your hand. Okay? So, for example, at weddings, what is the most well-wished phrase that you see? Happiness. I hope you're happy. You know, it's something that everyone wants to be happy. Now, the question is, what makes people happy? Lots of things, right? I did a search on it, on the words happiness is. That's always like a very, I have to be very careful because I get a lot of strange responses. But a lot of things came back. And lo and behold, guess what came up? This article, it says, how to find happiness. Woo! Here it is. Right? 7 timeless tips from the last 2,500 years on how to find happiness. How about that, huh? You never thought you'd get that from the internet. But anyway, the writer opens up and says, what do you want? A great job? A fulfilling relationship? Go sailing around the Pacific for a few years in your very own luxurious boat? Maybe he meant yacht, but anyway. Or just to get along better with yourself. I think he was thinking of those who have split personalities, you know. But anyway. All right. So, number one, he says, you want to find happiness? This is how you do it. He says, you choose. I said, oh, astonishing. And he has quotes on every one of these things. Number one, this is you choose. And Ludwig Wittgenstein said this, the world of those who are happy is different from the world of those who are not. No kidding. Okay. Number two, you want to be happy? Right? Focus on the present, not yesterday or tomorrow. And James Oppenheim says, the foolish man seeks happiness in the distance. The wise grows it under his feet. Okay. All right. So one, you choose. You focus on the present. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Number three, don't forget to be grateful. Frederick Keown, remember, these are from the last 2,500 years, so who knows who these people are. Okay, He says that we tend to forget that happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but rather of recognizing and appreciating what we do have. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, you choose. Focus on the present, not yesterday or tomorrow. Don't forget to be grateful. Number four, help someone else find happiness. Eleanor Roosevelt said, since you get more joy of giving, since you get more joy out of giving joy to others, you should put a good deal of thought into the happiness that you are able to give. Okay. And then this person, Bernard Meltzer, says this, happiness is like a kiss. You must share it to enjoy it. Guys, girls, keep your lips to yourself, okay? All right? Don't go there. All right. Number five, how to find happiness. Get rid of a couple of your less valuable desires. Now, a person named Epicurus, and I thought Justin, Kim, good name. I'm telling you. Epicurus. Okay, got it? Good. Okay, he says, if thou wilt make... You can tell this guy's like way different. If thou wilt make a man happy, add not unto his riches, but take away from his desires. Okay. Number six. Okay. Do what you like to do. And they don't say what. But Franklin D. Roosevelt said, happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort. Okay. Number seven. Drum roll, please. Thank you. They say, do something. Or at least do something. Benjamin Disraeli said, action may not always bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action. So it's like, don't just sit there. Do something. Right? So, anyway, those are the seven things, according to this writer, that says, you want to find happiness? There it is, in black and white. But I think my favorite one was the one from a comedian named George Burns. Have you heard of this guy? The late George Burns. He says, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. Yes, I like that. Woo! Anyway, okay. You know, most of the things that came up, they were fun and so forth. But if you noticed, there was one reoccurring theme. It was helping others. You know, and that's not bad. It's not bad. But at the same time, if you look at that type of happiness, does it last for a long time? It's temporary, right? It's only good as you help that person and you feel good and say, oh, that felt good. Now what? You have to go help someone else to feel happy again. So it's like an adrenaline rush. It only lasts for a little bit. It doesn't last long. And so we see that people are always looking for ways to feel good, to be happy, to find happiness in giving others happiness. But it's that ongoing thing. It's not permanent. And also another thing that I've noticed, or if you notice, picked up by these things, is that it's up to the person. It's up to you. We can make it happen. You want to be happy? It's up to you. We can control our circumstances. We can create happiness. That's completely opposite of what the Bible teaches. The psalm here says that true happiness comes from holy living before God. True happiness comes from fearing the Lord. Verse 1, you see, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Now, blessed or blessed means happy, content. It's the same word used in the Sermon on the Mount when our Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who mourn, the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's that same type of word. Happy, content. And so Psalm 128 says, You want to be happy? You want to have happiness in your life? And you have to go back and say the psalmist is speaking to those who know Christ as their Savior, who know God. He's not talking to unbelievers. And so he says, you want to be happy? You have to fear God first. Fear Him. You're saying, wait, hold it. Fear? You mean to tell me that fear brings happiness? When was the last time you heard that? You want to be happy, you've got to be afraid. Fear is a sign of weakness, right? Fear of what? You know, when you think of fear, you know, it's not talking about darkness or horror movies or Chuck Norris. Or for, you know, people like Ernie Roller Coasters or Justin. It's not the same type of fear. Happiness, blessings come from fearing the Lord. And if you fear the Lord, what's going to happen? The second part, you're going to walk in His ways. You know what that means? It's just obeying His commandments, obeying the Lord. This fear is not the same type of fear that the world knows. Now, there is a godly fear that people should have, and those are the people that don't know God. That's a tremendous fear. That's a horrific fear, because when an unbeliever dies, he will stand before God. That's fear right there, because he will be judged at that point. But the fear that the psalmist is talking here is about holy reverence, love. It's love for God. I mean, do we need to be afraid of God? Do we, ever walk outside and look up at the sun and say, oh, kind of sneak from tree to tree, hoping God is not going to zap you? No, of course not. You can't do that, because we serve a loving God, right? We serve a loving God. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Again, yes, because we were slaves to what? Sin. Thank you. Leading to fear again. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's not fear. It's not fear of judgment. The psalmist says, you want to be happy? Fear the Lord. Walk in His ways. Love and obedience. Pretty simple. Love and obedience. And in your outline, happiness is fearing the Lord and obeying the Lord. Love and obedience. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says, although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still, I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear Him openly. Openly. It's not just here. It's not just at home. It's an openly expression of your fear, your love for the Lord, wherever you are. It could be anywhere. So people will see that you fear and love God. If you hold God in reverence, in worship, then your desire will be to please Him, to walk in His ways. It's really the key to that. Now you may be thinking, all right, I got it. I am to fear the Lord. I am to walk in His ways. Okay, now what? But you know, this doesn't come empty. It comes with blessings as well. When God says, you need to fear me, and you need to walk in my ways. You need to love me and obey me. He just doesn't leave it there. It also brings blessings. Isn't that neat? Because we serve a true, loving God who provides as well, who gives us many things. It's not the false gods that oppress. You know, I was thinking the other day when I was at a dealer, and I saw a Muslim person come in, and the thought came to my mind, what a poor soul, that he doesn't even know what kind of God he serves. Isn't that terrible to see how in his mind he's trying to please him with all his works and this God doesn't even know him, maybe even like him? Oh, he's like oppressing God. Isn't that terrible? That's not the God we serve, is it? No. The God we serve provides blessings. He is a provider. And the psalmist mentions two types of blessings for those who fear the Lord. And he gives us present blessings and future blessings. Now, I do have to tell you that this psalm is focused around the home and the blessings that come from having a holy, reverent fear of the Lord. Now, we're going to look at the present blessings. Okay, verses 2 and 3. What are the blessings that we have right now when we fear and obey the Lord? Verse 2 and 3. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. You're probably thinking, come on now, I'm in high school. Okay? Work with me. Okay? What are the blessings here? God's provision, verses 2 and 3. The first one is that God blesses the provider of the home, or God blesses the man. Okay? Because he says, when you, okay, and it's geared towards, again, the provider of the home. James Montgomery said, labor is the symbol of man's punishment and the secret of man's happiness. You're saying, wait a minute, something's wrong with that picture. Work is supposed to be happy? Yes. God graciously created work so that we would not be idle. Being idle is a problem for us because we do get ourselves in trouble. Being lazy is definitely not a good thing. Proverbs 10:26 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy one to those who send them. You know, so God has graciously provided blessing to the man, to the provider of the home. What is that blessing? Well, he provides work, he provides strength, and with it, it provides food. And it's the provider here. It's work. When Adam was in the garden, did he just sit there? Did he just sit there and say, God, where's my sandwich? Did he? No. Of course he didn't. Right? Where's my drink? Nothing. What did he do? What was the first thing that Adam did? What did he do? He started naming animals. Right? He started working in the garden. Was that a bad thing? Of course not. Did you hear him complain? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he says, God, I worked my 8 hours now. Where's my break? My union says, no, nothing like that. Well, nothing. No. He worked. He started working. And it was a joy for him. And you know what? It is a blessing to have that, isn't it? Some of you don't agree. Oh, do I have to answer that? Well, you can take that as God's blessing because verse 2 says, when you shall eat of the fruit of your hands. Okay? Don't picture fruit growing on your fingers. Right? I'm talking about working for your food. And some of you that do work, just think of how God graciously provided you can buy yourself things and it is a time for you to start learning how to manage money. And it's going to help you down the road. Right, so hopefully down a few years from now when you have a family, you'll be able to provide. And think of the blessing that God gives you, that He provides for you. Because everything that we have comes from the Lord. Everything. Have you thought about that? Have you thought of how God graciously provides for you and He provides everything? Because what is it that you have right now that you can say, I got this by myself. I didn't need my parents' help. I didn't need God's help. I got this by myself. What is it? Tell me. What is it that you got? Nothing. Right? Nothing. Everything comes from the Lord. You know, and to Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, they were getting kind of boastful of who they were in Christ, and they thought they were better than other people. And Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? What? What is it that you have that you didn't receive from God? Nothing. John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Yes, God provides everything. He blesses. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. That's the blessing from God, because He provides the work, He provides the food, He provides you with a home, He provides you with parents. I don't think there's any one of you that can say, man, I wonder, we don't have any breakfast. We don't have any food. What are we going to eat? No, God graciously provides the home that you are in now. So that's why you should be so ever grateful for all that. So thinking about that, what is the attitude that we should have when God provides these blessings to us, when we recognize His provision to us? And in your outline, what is the attitude of being blessed or being blessed? Well, I could think of five. There's plenty more, but five, and they're not necessarily in this order. It should bring humility. Humility. Fearing the Lord, walking in His ways, because He has blessed you. All this should bring humility. Psalm 37:11 says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Number two, trust. Psalm 40:4. How blessed is a man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Number three, kindness. Psalm 41:1. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. Worship. Number 4. Psalm 84:4. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And number 5. Obedience. Psalm 119:1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. And Psalm 119:2. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him, seek God with all their heart. Everyone get that? Humility, trust, kindness, worship, obedience. And again, there's plenty more, but you know, these are the things that I think really apply to what we're talking about. And you say, all right, maybe I don't want to fear the Lord. Maybe I just want to be who I am. Okay, well, that's fine. Because Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Wow. And those whose heart turns away from the Lord, these people are going to be cursed. They're going to be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. You know, it's tough when you see people that know the Lord. I mean, know about the Lord, not know them. Know about the Lord. And they still reject Him. Oh, the Bible says they're going to be cursed unless they repent. Okay, so that was the blessing. Blessings to the provider of the home, the man. In verse 3, the second part, blessing God's provision. He blesses the home. He blesses the home. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. You know, and again, I want to mention this. Even though you're not married, You can still be a blessing to your family. Did you know that? You can still be a blessing to your family. How can you be a blessing to your family right now? Help me here. How? Yes.
Listen to your parents.
Listen to your parents. What else?
Oh.
Logan.
Being an example.
Being an example. Excellent. What else? Karin? Yes.
Help the chores.
Help the chores. Very good. Do the chores. Yes. Chris.
Be a joy to be around.
Yes, excellent. That helps so much.
Yes.
Obey, no matter what. That's so hard to do. Yes, McKenna.
Be willing.
Excellent. You see, you can be a blessing in your home. Even though you read these verses and they're geared towards the home, and you say, well, I'm not married yet, and that's true, and I'm glad for that. But you can still be a blessing within your home. And another thing that we see in these verses, okay, if you look at verses 2 and 3, we see a picture of the God-fearing home. And if you live in that, that in itself is a blessing. Think about that. If you live in a God-fearing home, that in itself is a blessing. And verse 3 also points to the effect that a godly woman has in the home. Wow. I'm telling you. When you have a godly woman in the home where she knows her place within the home, where she cares for it, she lovingly submits to her husband and cares for their children. Oh, that is a loving home. That is a blessed home from God. You know, because we see in verse 2 that the man is the provider. And in verse 3, we see how the home works in harmony according to how God intended. We don't see a disgruntled children, do you? Like, I don't want that. I don't like that food. We don't see an unhappy wife, right, saying, why can't I have my Gucci glasses like everyone else? No, we see harmony within the home. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 31, where it says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. That is an excellent wife. God provides for the home and blesses the home. Psalm 144:12 says, let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. You know, that's a big challenge for you. Now the question is, guys, are you preparing yourself right now to be a godly young man? The same for you girls. Are you preparing yourself to be a godly young woman? So when you have, God willing, a home, is it going to reflect Psalm 128? The godly home is where everyone knows their place and submits to them as God intended. You know, and the psalmist finishes this statement stating again in verse 4, it says, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And I like the way that the NLV puts it. He says, that is the Lord's blessing for them who fear Him. I like that. Now these are the present blessings. You are truly blessed if you are in the Lord and live in a happy, God-fearing home. You are truly blessed. What are the future blessings? What are the future blessings? Verse 6, 5 and 6. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. peace be upon Israel. You know, what is the promise here? Truly this, that you will be blessed or blessings throughout your life. That's the promise. Psalm 20, verse 2 says, May God send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion, from heaven. And then Job 42:16 says that after this, after what? After he lost everything, the Bible says that Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons four generations. Isn't that neat? What a neat thing. Now, are you going to live to be 140? I wouldn't want to. That's too long for me. But anyway, you know, we're not guaranteed that God will let you live that many years or many years, but we do know that He will bless you if you fear Him and walk in His ways. Psalm 103:17 says, "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." What a promise. Proverbs 17:6, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers." Again, does this mean that the psalmist is promising you that you're going to live to be 100? No. It just means that you will be blessed the years that you live fearing and walking in His ways. And if you get to see your children someday, and your grandchildren, well, you know what? That's just an added blessing to your life. That's all it is. Do you want to be happy? Fear the Lord and walk in His ways. What are the promises? He will provide for you and He will bless your life. No, we serve a holy, righteous, perfect, loving God. He's not an angry God who's ready to smack you when you sin, but is one who is patient and waiting for all to come to repentance. That's why He says to us through His Word, come to Me, all who are weary and what? Heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest. Why? Because My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What a neat God we serve, isn't it? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Give Me all your worries. Give Me everything that you have. I'll take care of it. Isn't that neat? What other God can do that for you? There's none other God like the God we serve. And when you realize this, you will lovingly submit to His authority in obedience because He cares and blesses those who fear Him. You want to find happiness? Fear the Lord. Walk in His ways. What a neat promise. Yeah, I like the way the NLV writes this psalm where he says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the blessing for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace." And it is more like a prayer in verses 5 and 6. Wow. Think of how blessed you are today. Think how blessed you are in your home. Think of the blessings you will have if you love and obey our Lord. Think about that. You know, if you don't know the Lord, there is no way for you to find this true happiness. There is no way for you to know it. Because it is only provided through Jesus Christ. That's it. You can't get to God by our own works. You can't be doing, "Oh, I'm going to do this and that and find happiness on my own." No, you can't. It's only through Jesus Christ that you must repent and turn to Him. And He will give you the promises that we have here in Psalm 28. What is the application? You know, the key point, of course, is blessings come from fearing the Lord. What are the three applications? Fearing the Lord should bring contentment. Fearing the Lord should bring contentment. It's really a good testimony of where you are in Christ as well. Are you content with what you have? Number two, fearing the Lord should give you a grateful heart. You will be so grateful to our God because of what He provides. Fearing the Lord should give you a grateful heart. Number three, fearing the Lord should provide a desire to live an obedient life. Fearing the Lord should provide a desire to live an obedient life. It's like Psalm 1:1 says, "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." You should have that desire to live an obedient life. Guys, we serve a great God. Fear Him and walk in His ways. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for such a beautiful psalm and how You graciously provide what we have and You provide promises, Lord, that You would bless those who fear Him. I pray for these young men and women. May they seek to follow You in a fearing and obedient manner. Help them, Father, understand these truths. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.